Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Stable Connections, the podcast. Today's episode is with Jordan Sullivan, and she talks to us about being born and raised in a small town, how she's preparing to leave to Farrier School in Missouri, and what she expects from it. Hope you enjoy. Stable Connections is sponsored by Elk Grove Milling Incorporated, the trusted maker of Stable Mix Complete Feeds. Stable Mix products are available in most Western states through Tractor Supply, and their classic barrel program is available at your local California feed stores. Contact Stable Mix representatives at 916-684-2056 for personalized feeding recommendations on how to stretch your hay supply or provide complete nutrition to have a healthier, happier horse. Visit www.elkgrovemilling.com. Stable Connections is sponsored by Bay Mare Designs. Bay Mare Designs is a full-service branding and web design studio built for equestrian-owned businesses. Alicia combines her experiences within the design space and her passion for the horse world to create stunning, strategic designs that help you grow your small business. Learn more about how you can attract your dream clients through branding and web design. She services clients nationwide. Please visit www.baymaredesign.com and receive 10% off when you mention Stable Connections, the podcast. Where are you originally from?
Middletown. Like, I've been here my whole life. I moved away like for 3 months after the Valley Fire to Sonoma County, but I've always been, we came back to Middletown.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
And so when did horses come into your life?
I have always had horses. My whole life I grew up with them. My mom rode English and did a little bit of that, but when they moved down here, there's not much English going on. No competitions, you have to drive over the hill for anything. So they got into doing the gymkhanas and like the barrel races and stuff. And my mom would go in her English saddle. And
cool.
My dad rode an Australian saddle. So that was kind of funny.
They stood out a little bit?
Yes. My mom on her thoroughbred, my dad on the draft horse that we have out there.
Oh, not only in saddles, but also in types of horses.
Yeah.
They stood out.
And then so we started riding Western because that's what, you know, happened around here.
We being siblings?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have three other siblings. We all competed in the gymkhanas and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And where do you fall in the sibling age?
So there's Tessa, she's younger than me, I'm the second youngest, and then my older sister, Bree, and Peter.
And you're all into horses?
Bree and Peter, not so much anymore. They moved away, they didn't really stick with it. But Tessa rides, she does the high school rodeo and all that.
Cool. And so when did you get your first horse?
We always had, like, me and my sister shared a horse for a long time. We had an old gray Arab, and so we rode him, and we kind of shared, but I also rode my mom's horse a little bit. And then when I was 5, I got a pony for Christmas.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then I had her for a while until I had to hand her off to my sister because I got too big.
Yep, that happens. So you did high school rodeos mm-hmm. and stuff. So
yeah.
Tell me about that experience.
It was awesome. I really liked it. I got into it my 8th grade year, I think. And it was pretty cool. It was a lot different than like the local gymkhanas and stuff, which is what I was used to. There was more people, and it's like gymkhanas, like, it's a lot more low key. It's a lot about just having fun. Of course, there's people that go there and compete, but high school rodeo, it's like, it's important. You want to get to state, you want to get to finals, you're out there to compete. And of course, you still socialize, you have friends and stuff, but it was more intense.
Yeah. And did you like that intensity?
I did and I didn't. I prefer gymkhanas and stuff like that. I think something more low key just to go have fun. I've never been really competitive. I didn't do super well in high school rodeo and I never cared for, like, to do well. I just went there to ride.
Yeah. What was it like for you, or is it like for you, living in kind of a smaller town? Because Middletown's pretty small. There's what, like 2,000 population? What's the population here?
I think Middletown's like a little bit over 1,000, but Hidden Valley
is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like being in a small town. Like, I don't, like I said, I lived in Santa Rosa for like 3 months and wouldn't
That's a big
do
town.
That again. Yeah. Not really my thing. I don't like driving in like bigger areas even. I like knowing people, having people I can reach out to, you know, whenever I need, and it's pretty nice.
Yeah. I think there's probably pros and cons for a lot of people. There's, you know, everyone knows everything about you, but then there's like this camaraderie, hopefully.
Yeah.
In a small town like this.
Yeah, it's really nice. My dad's really friendly. He's got a lot of friends, and so it makes it easy. We get along with, I think, everyone.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And you work at a local shop too that a lot of people come in and out of.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people through work. I thought I knew everyone before I started working there, and then I started working there and it was
all these people.
Yeah.
Where'd all these people come from?
Yeah, really.
How long ago did you graduate high school?
I graduated in 2021.
Okay, so a few years ago. And so what came next for you after graduating high school?
Well, I always knew I wanted to go into shoeing and become a farrier, but it took me a while to kind of get out there and start like working with a farrier.
Why is that?
I just didn't reach, I mean, I reached out to a couple, but it never really worked, and I didn't reach out again, I don't know. And so I worked at the store, so I had a job, so I was working, I was riding, I was training horses and selling horses, but I still wanted to get into like the farrier stuff. And so I was like looking at schools, I was planning on going to Pacific Coast, but then I was looking at other schools like that lasted longer, like had longer courses, and that seemed a lot more interesting. So I was working to save money and be able to pay for that to go there.
Yeah. And what interests you about being a farrier?
I think mainly just working with horses, finding a job that's, I considered training for a little bit, but I don't know if I want to do that as a job, just because I like doing it on the side. I like working with horses, but I don't want to feel rushed. I don't want it to be something that, you know, have to do all the time. And my farrier suggested it one day, just when he was doing, I never considered it before that. And then he was just like, why don't you become a farrier? And I was like, that would be a great idea, because I love working with horses, and that's the main part of the job, and then I already know a decent amount, like how to handle them, so it'd be a lot easier going into it.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this yesterday while you were helping my farrier do my horse, but it's really beneficial in my mind to have a farrier that is also a horse person. Yeah. I think that I really appreciate that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think going into the school, probably also knowing how to handle horses, you know, the feeling when a horse is about to sit back or when they're going to slam their foot down, yes, blah, 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 you know. So you decided on a school, so tell me about that.
I asked a lot of farriers, like anyone who I ran into, what they recommended. I heard about Heartland, that's where I'm going, and it was the most recommended. All of them, you know, meant at least brought it up. It's a good school, and they have a really long course. The course I'm taking is 6 months, and then they offer courses before that too to like get introduced to it. So I was like, I wanted something long. I could really learn as much as I could, and hopefully, you know, prepare me to take like my CJF to get certified and all that.
Yeah. So you want to go the long haul with, because being a farrier, as a lot of us know, you don't have to have any certifications. You literally tomorrow could go out and start doing it. Yeah. So it sounds like you want to make sure you have the education behind you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know some of the schools, you could choose an 8-week program. So the fact that you chose one that you said is 7 months?
Six months? Yeah, 6 months. And then I'm taking an additional course before that. That's like another couple weeks. So
cool. And what are you looking forward to the most with all of it?
It's someplace new. I haven't really been out of the state that long before. And I like knowing all about the farrier stuff. And then like anatomy and stuff. I love learning all that stuff. And so I think it'd be really cool to see how much I learn and how much I know when I come back.
Yeah. I know you started working with the farrier you're working with now before the school. What influenced you to do that before going to school?
I wanted to know like as much as I could before I go there. I don't want to like show up and not know what I want to be able to like jump into it and be able to start working on like whatever I need to right away and not have to struggle through not knowing things, you know, like cram too much information at once, kind of.
Yeah, totally. And what kind of, do you consider yourself a school person?
Yes and no. I didn't like high school much. I did, you know.
You got by.
I got by, yeah.
Same.
Then I started, like, I took a couple college classes at the JC just because I was bored and I really liked it because, I got to pick what I, you know, was working on. I didn't take anything, you know, that I didn't want to do. It was just like ag classes and animal science classes. And those I really liked. I loved going there. I loved learning all that stuff. And so I think going to farrier school, I'll love it too, because it's something I like.
Yeah. Well, and you were telling me yesterday there's a cap of 24 people in the classes, which coming from a small town, I'm sure you prefer kind of that smaller, more individualized teaching?
Yeah,
too.
For sure. That was something I was worried about when I was thinking too. I was like, how many people? It's a really popular school. It's a really well-known school. So I was worried about how many people were going to be there.
Yeah.
But said they don't. They try to keep it small so they could work with everybody individually. And so that really stood out.
And do you know with the school if it's kind of a pass-fail? Like, do you just complete it and then you have the certification from them? Or not certification, but it's just a...
You just graduate.
You pass the school? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you can fail out of it or on their website. The course beforehand that I'm taking, it's just a course, like a clinic type thing. You don't pass or fail. But the actual course I'm taking later on, they can be like, nope.
And do you think that when you're done, you're going to come back here?
Yeah, I think I'm going to come back here. It'll be easier. I know the area. Probably work here for a while and then maybe go somewhere else, maybe stay.
Yeah, yeah. You never know where it'll take you. And you never wanted to go to, I know you said you went to Santa Rosa a little bit, but you never wanted to go to like a 4-year university kind of thing? Wasn't
your
path?
I did at one point, but then I was like, I don't know how well I would do there. I still consider eventually maybe becoming a vet and doing all that schooling later, but so I feel like starting with the farrier thing would be a good way to get some money and, you know, have a job so that I could pay for that if I needed.
With being in a high school in a small town, what do you feel like was the hardest thing in high school specifically?
I've never been really social. I had my small friend group. I never really liked high school.
Like being there specifically?
Yeah, no. Just, I mean, I had, like I said, I had a small group of friends, but it's like everybody else. There were so many people. So it wasn't really my thing.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you consider yourself an introvert?
I guess so. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And let's see. So with the Gymkhana stuff, tell me a little bit more about which, because I know there's a multiple kind of like things you can do within that. So what were your favorite things to do?
I mean, everything. I love the events that aren't so popular. Like, you go out there, they have like mystery events, you know, find some random thing online and it's something completely new. You know, if you know the pattern and it's confusing for the horse, it's like you have to work together with your horse and you have to show them what to do. That's always been really good for me because none of my horses were ever really patterned for like barrels or poles. And so they go out there, they listen to me, and that was always so fun, you know, finding new things like the keyhole event. They draw like this hole in the middle of the arena and with chalk. And so you have to run, you have to stop, and you have to spin around in the circle and go out.
Oh, interesting.
Touch the chalk. And so a lot of horses, you know, you have to have enough control to go out there to stop your horse, to slow them down, make a circle, and then get out of this, you know, little narrow area.
How fun. Yeah, a lot of Gymkhana, I've never been to one to even watch, but a lot of it is like games kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you have multiple horses that you would take or just one specific?
For a long time, I had one. I had my pony and then I had a red mare, Izzy, and then I had Smoke, my Arab. And so I always had one, but then I started picking up project horses, you know, just saw something for sale on Facebook, and so then I'd bring two, and one I'd compete on, the other one I just, you know, introduced to it.
Yeah.
And so that was always fun. I like having more than one horse there. I usually bring my filly now when I go anywhere and just have her hang out. My walk through an event or a time only.
A lot of them are timed, right?
I think every event, they're all timed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't really love doing barrels? Because I know that's a lot of the population up here in Middletown, maybe specifically, but also Lake County, they are barrel racers, from my understanding.
Yeah, barrels is really popular, and I like competing in barrels. I like running my pattern and all that, but I don't love barrel races just because it's a lot of standing around. I mean, there's tons of people there, and then you have, you know, 19 seconds in the arena, and then you're done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of horse shows in general are like that, whether you're in the hunter-jumper world. Dressage, you're there all day, you have your, I don't even know how long it takes for someone to do a test, it's like 3 minutes, and then you're done.
Yeah.
So, I think that that's a lot of the show world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, my cousin does English, and we were talking about this last night, and she was like, yeah, you're there all day, it's hot, I mean, there's a lot going on, you go in the ring for like a minute, and then you're done.
And it could be great, could be not so great.
Yeah.
And then you're just done and you paid some money and yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you, with Gymkhana, do you win prizes or money or anything?
Yeah, typically it depends on where you go. There's a few different ones around here. Some you'll have like vouchers or just ribbons per event. And then at the end of the day, they might hand out like gift cards to the High Point, or they might hand out like, might be money, it might be a piece of tack or something. And then typically at the end of the year, they have like, they count up all your points and you might get High Point for the season and win like a buckle or something.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Did you ever have like a trainer growing up?
Not specifically, but I did have a lot of people that helped me. That was another thing I liked about living here. It's like I had so my like my mom wrote English, so she didn't know a lot about this. And my dad, not a horse person. So I had a lot of people that helped me around town, like lessons or just, you know, give me pointers. Like I said, my dad was friends with a lot of people, so that helped. And so, I mean, I owe it to a lot of people here in town, like where I am.
Yeah, that's cool that it sounds like, because there are some people I think that come out of small towns and are like, I need to get out. I need to go somewhere else because there's not enough people around here. Whereas with you, it sounds like it was a positive experience to be kind of close-knit with everyone. And so you do think you'll stay potentially. Mm-hmm. Have you traveled much in your life?
I've been decent, like pretty good amount of places. I have a friend who lives in like Idaho that I go visit. My siblings live in Florida, so we go there. But just, I mean, this country, I've never been out of the country.
Yeah, that's wild. Do you want to?
I mean, I think it'd be fun. I mean, to go see new places and stuff, but it's never been like the top of my list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you have horses in your life, it makes it a little different.
Yeah.
And do you keep your horses here?
I do. Yeah. Luckily, we have property. I had to board my horses for a little bit after the fires, and that was like so weird because I grew up with them in my backyard, and it's like, oh, I don't have to go out and feed, or like I can't just walk out and go ride. So I really like that we have them here.
Let's see. Is there anything else that stands out within your trajectory? One of the harder shows where you like learned a lot about yourself in that moment?
I guess there wasn't one specifically, but I'd say high school rodeo, because before that, like I said, I was competing in gymkhanas and I was kind of just going out there and having fun. Then I got a little bit more competitive because, I mean, it's the environment, you know? And so that's when I started getting more lessons, you know, having people help me. And so I think I really improved during those years. You know, we invested some money into a more competitive horse, and I'd never had that. You know, we got most of our horses for free. And then I took lessons and I worked with people, and I think during that time I improved a lot.
Were there any shows where like you won and that feeling of like, I did that?
Yeah, there were a few, especially if it was a horse that like I worked with, or like I had like won a buckle in my little era, but like a 1D buckle, and that was crazy because it was just a free horse we got, and I never did super great, but then like went out there and he had like a really good run, and I was like, it was surprising.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What do you feel are skills now before going to school that you possess that will make you a good farrier?
Well, I think like you mentioned earlier, knowing about horses is a big thing because it's really hard to learn about horses and learn how to control them and try to, you know, focus on shoeing or whatever you're doing under the horse. And not to mention that that's like a lot to, I've had 20 years of experience with horses, and so that's a lot to know to try to learn right before school. So knowing horses and being around them, then also just like the basics that I've been taught, just everything, feeling the tools, because that was a big thing, knowing how to hold them and feeling comfortable with them and being under the horse. It's just like, it's a lot of legs, leg work. Mm-hmm. People always say like, your back will go out, but it's like, if you sit right, I mean, your back is sore, yeah, but your legs are going to be burning. So, like, building up the muscle that I'll need. And then I've been learning anatomy, going through, like, the textbook for the school. And so hopefully that'll help out a lot.
Yeah. And do you think you have, like, the entrepreneurial mindset of it all, too? Where, like, you know, you'll be able to keep your book straight?
I'm pretty bad with scheduling and answering phone calls and all that. So I've been trying to be better. I have a planner, and I try to figure out what I'm doing for the month. So that might be a little bit challenging, but I feel like I need to work on that.
Yeah, at least you know already that that's something. And then just, I feel like just asking around and seeing how other people that are doing what you want to do, how they are doing it, if they're doing it successfully, like just seeing how they do it and then trying that. And eventually you'll find kind of your way of doing it. Have you talked to any female farriers within the industry? And
yeah, my friend's farrier is a female, and she I've talked to her about it. It seems like, I mean, there's a lot more now than there was before. And like when I went and visited the school that I'm going to, most of the class was girls, and so that was like surprising. It was almost surprising. I mean, I knew there was a lot more now than before, but it seems like a lot more people are getting into it.
Yeah, I think people are recognizing that it isn't necessarily a man's job, that women can do it too. And you plan on doing trims and shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mainly what the school is. It goes over trimming, of course, and all that, but it's a lot of like working in the forge and building shoes and building something for a specific problem that a horse has, you know, going over that stuff.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Has there been any farriers that you've talked to that have strongly recommended like body work even before you get sore?
Yes. Yeah, a lot. Pretty much everyone I've talked to has mentioned that and be like, you gotta not only like stay fit, but also like there's chiropractic work and massages and stuff like that, because you don't want to beat up your body too much, because I mean the job already does that.
Yeah.
So if you want to last in the industry, you're gonna have to take care of your body.
Yeah, and do it before there's an injury.
Yes.
I think that's the problem, is I mean in general, but also in the horse community, trainers, farriers, everyone, where a lot of people wait until their body hurts to then go get body work, instead of like keeping on schedule a once a month chiro, once a month massage, or every other week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even if it costs some money, like in the beginning it's hard because you know, you're penny pinching, but you know, your body is the only one you have. Are there any like nerves going into the school?
Yeah, for sure. It's a little bit better now, because I was really nervous about going in and not knowing anything. But I've been trying to like study the book and work with a farrier, you know as much as I can. So I think it's not as bad as it was before. But yeah, I'm still, because I'm moving away.
Where is the school?
It's in Lamar, Missouri.
So Missouri, okay.
It's a ways out there.
Yeah, it's going to be cold when you go there too, right?
It'll be cold, yeah. And then it'll be there over summer, so it'll be really hot and humid.
Yeah. And so other than the length of the time you're in school, what else influenced you to choose that school?
I think just the recommendations, like that really was like, oh, everybody said, you know, mentioned this. The guy who runs it, he's really like, he gets out there and he like, a lot of the people around here, even in California, have met him and spoken with him. So that's really cool.
He seems to have a good reputation
around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even with people that didn't go to the school, which is awesome. Are your horses going with you that you currently have?
I'm hopefully going to be taking one. We're trying to figure out how to get her out there and probably going to do it a little bit later.
Get comfortable at school first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, a couple people have recommended against it, but like, I've never not had a horse for like 7 months. That'd be weird. I really like riding, just going out there, like hopping on bareback and walking around a field. So it'd be really weird not having a horse for that long. So I'm trying what I can to get like my filly out there, just so I have something to do. And also I just, leaving her like here is just really weird, like for 7 months, so.
It's a long time.
Yeah, having someone else take care of her and all that, so I like being able to just do all that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And why do you think people have advised against it?
Because they're going to be really busy out there. Not like moving, it's pretty expensive to get a horse out there, you know. It's a lot different when you just drive a car, but the gas, hauling a trailer and all that is a lot more. And I'm going to be really busy. Like, that was the thing. There's a lot of projects to do. There's a lot of studying. So there's not going to be a lot of time. Not to mention keeping a horse is expensive too. I'm already going to school, so I'm going to have to pay for her. So it'll be harder, but I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Are you trying to set up every... So you're going to go out there for, I'm guessing, a few months or a few weeks, and then try to get her out there. Mm-hmm. So are you already trying to set up, like, hauling and where she would be and all of that? Like, does the farrier school have boarding?
Yeah, they do allow horses. They have a really nice price for it. I mean, obviously they're not, it's not like boarding, they're not taking care of them and stuff like that, but it's a really decent price, you know, keep your horse out there so that way you can have them there.
And she'd be on the property with, like, it's the same property?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. And then as for getting her out there, probably have, like, my dad maybe would just drive her out there, you know, partway through. Or maybe we'd, you know, ship her out there, pay someone.
Yeah, you might get out there and then the month goes in and you're like, I do not have time for this. Or maybe you're like, this is actually kind of nice to not have your horse there to have to take care of, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that might happen. I might be way too busy or I might be like, I don't know how I'd do what I'm doing with the horse, you know, to take care of on top of that.
Yeah, it might be a little break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's go into the questions. So what is something within the community you want to see evolve or change? And then how can you help with that if you're not already?
In the community, I'm obviously most involved in like the horse community and everybody with that. And something I've noticed over like recent years is like our thing, like Middletown Days. It's just not like what it used to be, you know, it's not as many people there, it's not as big. And so that, like, this past year I was like really thinking I want to get involved more with like the board or like helping out, just volunteering, try to bring it back, like the ranch rodeo and stuff like that, like what it was, have more contestants. Because I know that's not a, like only like just a fun thing for everybody, it's like brings money to like the park, which is a big thing because like they have that arena that we can use whenever we want. And so we want to keep that, and, you know, we need to bring money back into it. So that's just something that I've noticed and thought about helping out with.
Yeah, why do you think it hasn't been as big as it used to be?
I don't really know. I think a lot of it, like, the kids who were, like, competing, you know, are, you know, going to moved away. And then, like, there's younger kids that compete, and there's a big gap. And then there's, you know, a few adults that, like, compete and stuff like that. But there's just that gap. And so I think it kind of just rotates through, you know, more people will come in. Yeah, I'm not really sure why it's so quiet now, but maybe that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's good that you kind of have a plan to see if you can help, too. Yeah. Sounds like you've already thought about this a little bit.
Yeah.
And so you get to ask me one question. So is there anything, you don't know anything about me, which
not
is
really.
Fun. You just know my horse.
Yeah, I really like your horse. How did you get into horses?
I grew up in Southern California. And my family bought a little like 2-acre ranch and my mom started accumulating animals as they do. So around the age of like 7, I started riding, taking lessons, going to little hunter jumper shows. So that's kind of it. My mom just liked horses. And so we just started accumulating animals and I stuck with it. And then I actually had a gap. I showed till I was like 13, took a big break for like 10, 11 years and then came back to it. So. But yeah, they're fun. It's
they
fun.
They are, yeah. It's expensive and stressful, but it's worth it.
It is, yeah. There are moments where I'm like, why am I in this and what am I doing? And then there are moments where we're reminded why, mm-hmm. usually.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. This has been awesome.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Stable Connections, the podcast. For the first 2 years, I put out episodes every single Monday. Now, they're gonna come out kind of sporadically, sometimes every week, sometimes once a month. But if you listen to an episode and enjoy it, please leave a comment, share it with your friends, share it on your story, and if you have the time, please leave a review on Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you so much. See you next time.